You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In 20 minutes, Kevin Kugler, now of Fox Sports TV. So Fox on having the NFL games, and he's part of that team now. Kevin's going to join us for the first time in his new role. He still does Westwood One every now and then, so you did hear him on Bills Titans Tuesday night from Nashville, but he's actually going to join us from Indianapolis since he has got Bengals and Colts this weekend, and he works with Chris Spielman, a former NFL and college football player, along with Laura Oakman, who's on the sidelines. So great team, and I'm excited to have Kevin on the show because this is the first time I've had a chance to interview him. I mean, we text, but first time I've had a chance to interview him since he got this promotion with Fox, and it was kind of unexpected because of a firing and an unfortunate situation, but he was just waiting for the opportunity, and he is killing it. So we'll talk to Kevin. He has very weird taste in cereal, by the way, if you haven't checked out his Twitter. And so that's coming up in 20 minutes, and he'll stick with us through the hour as we start to pick apart some of these games and matchups week 6 in the NFL. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. Did you hear the big personnel news on Thursday? Le'Veon Bell narrowed down his choices and eventually decided Kansas City should be his next destination. I am still chewing over this, and I'm interested to see how they use him because they have so many weapons with speed, and they use those misdirection and motion plays all the time. They like to confuse defenses, get them running every which way. Of course, they run wide receivers out of the backfield. They like to send running backs out into the flat or downfield, and Le'Veon Bell, in the heyday of his career, he could do both. He was, if not the primary receiver, and I guess with Antonio Brown, you could call him the primary receiver with the killer bees, but he was certainly the top option and could do a lot of different things really well. And so his versatility got him to the point where he was over 400 touches in a couple of different years, led the NFL by far when he was with the Steelers. And as recently as 2017, he rushed for almost 1,300 yards and caught 85 passes. And that led to double-digit touchdowns. I don't believe he's the same guy, though if you listen to him, that year off in which he did not report and did not play with the Steelers actually was the best thing that his physical body could have had because he's only 28. It's weird, right? But running backs, especially ones that are used as much as Le'Veon Bell, they tend to age a lot more quickly. Now, he can't get into the Chiefs facility or onto the practice field until he goes through nearly a week, a full week of negative virus tests. Okay, so he's not going to be with the Chiefs this weekend against the Buffalo Bills. But you kind of wonder where they're going to slot him in. They drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire out of LSU. Such a steal for them. They already have guys like Tyreek Hill, who is high usage as well. And again, they'll run him all over the field. I know he's a receiver, but my God, you see him in all kinds of different formations. If you think about some of the deep options they have, Travis Kelce, he'll take on anybody. Sammy Watkins. And this is a group that has a lot of weapons, not to mention Patrick Mahomes. But if some is good, more is better. That's what we were saying when they drafted Clyde. And so Le'Veon Bell, you can understand why he picked the Chiefs, but I'm kind of wondering about how much the Chiefs plan to use him. And wasn't his major complaint with the Jets that he didn't get enough touches, that he wasn't being used the way that he thought he should? Wasn't that his issue with Adam Gase, is that there wasn't really a place for him in the Jets offense? Translation, I'm not the top option in the Jets offense. Well, he's sure as heck not going to be the top option with the Kansas City Chiefs, but I suppose beggars can't be choosers. He gets to choose Kansas City. He gets to choose a contender. And the Chiefs are hoping that they can see flashes of brilliance, I'm sure. They signed him to a one-year deal. They give him an opportunity. But he's not going to be the feature back. He's going to split time. And that's if he stays healthy. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Pete Prisco, one of our CBS Sports NFL insiders, he's kind of reacting to this Le'Veon Bell signing in the classic Pete way that he always does.
Well, for him, it made all the sense in the world to go to a team that's a contender. You want to try and win a Super Bowl. You want to be on a good team. If it came down between playing for the Dolphins or playing for the Chiefs, he picked the right team.
Ouch.
The question for the Chiefs is, what's he have left? The guy hasn't done much the last couple of years. He sat out a season. He didn't do anything with the Jets. Can he still put his foot in the ground, make all those great cuts he used to make when he was with the Steelers? And what's this do for your running back situation? So he's capable of catching the football out of the backfield. We know that. This kind of feels like LeSean McCoy number two for me all over again. I just don't think it's a great addition to their team. I could be wrong, but I would have stayed with what I had if I were the Chiefs.
See, it's a really low risk signing, though. They're not giving him that much money. It's for the rest of the year. It's not even a full season. There's a really kind of low threshold here. So I appreciate that they want to see what he can do. It's almost more of a tryout. They're just kind of paying him for a tryout. And for him, if there was ever incentive to mind his P's and Q's, no one says that anymore. I don't even know where I got that from. My grandmother, maybe. If there was ever incentive for him to stay in line, keep his social media posts to a minimum, then this would be it. What is it about Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, two guys coming out of Pittsburgh, or that's where they started, who love to use their social media to air their grievances? What game are you most looking forward to this weekend? Man, this was a tough one for me. And right now we've got a really good back and forth going in our poll. So we've got multiple games that feature teams that would prefer that you think of them as contenders, or they believe that they are contenders. One of those is inside the AFC North, and this could be a doozy. Man, we know Browns and Steelers are fierce. There's an added layer to their games because they go back for so long. I've told the story before, but I'll tell it again for those of you who've never heard it. My grandparents, my maternal grandparents, had a home in Northeast Ohio, the Youngstown area, actually, which is halfway between Pittsburgh and Cleveland. And because that's where my mom's whole side of the family is, in the Youngstown area, I spent so much time there when I was a kid. Outside of New Hampshire, that's really my second home. And so when I was growing up, I was very confused by what was happening in Youngstown, because half of the yards, or the driveways and the yards in the neighborhood where my grandparents lived, were decorated in black and gold. So half of the people who lived in the neighborhood were Steelers fans. The other half were decorated in orange and brown. And so you had Browns fans, you had Steelers fans, and these weeks when Steelers and Browns would match up were major trash talking weeks. Although, let's be honest, the trash talking continues year round. So there's always a really physical, tense, kind of fierce element to this rivalry. There's no intimidation here. Doesn't matter where they're playing the game. They always seem to have extracurricular activity and some skirmishes. So there's a lot of history here, and you don't have to go that far back to get some real cantankerous history. You don't have to go that far back to get some real animosity. Mason Rudolph, Myles Garrett, the accusations of racial slurs, the helmet comes slapping down on the head of Rudolph, and a 6-game suspension. I mean, last year's game, we talked about it for weeks. I remember that after that game, my phone lines were filled for, I think, 4 or 5 nights in a row of nothing but Browns, Steelers fans, and then, of course, football fans all over the country who wanted to talk about that game. So it's tense, it's intense, and while this is a different chapter, Ben Roethlisberger is back, right? So we're not talking Mason Rudolph here. Myles Garrett is also back. And what I keep hearing is redemption and revenge. And I don't know if that's really the right way to approach this game. It's a different head coach, obviously, in Kevin Stefanski. I'm hoping that the Browns are more disciplined in this game than they were under Freddie Kitchens in the last game. Well, the first one we saw last year. Didn't they play like 3 weeks later? So they had two games in the span of a month last year, and the NFL was warning them in that second game, you better not get into trouble or else. So Cleveland-Pittsburgh is the game that I picked, but it's actually not front-running right now in our poll. There's another game that more of you have said you're most interested in. So check out our poll on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We're definitely going to get to some of the other games, and we'll let you hear from the quarterbacks. And also, we've got a bunch of QB news. Denver, New England, both the starting quarterbacks kind of in the news for different reasons. So a lot to get through as we head through these next few hours, but I'd love to talk some football with you. Now, if we can pivot for a second and talk NBA, I want to make sure we hit these couple storylines. I'm a little surprised that the Los Angeles Clippers are choosing a guy from Doc Rivers' coaching staff to take over as their next head coach. Now, this is not a knock on Ty Lue. It has nothing to do with Coach Lue himself. The report is that he has signed or is signing a five-year deal to coach the Clippers. But I guess I don't really understand. He was part of the Doc Rivers staff. If your issue is with Doc Rivers personally, then okay, maybe that's why you let him go or why it was a mutual part. I don't really believe it was a mutual parting of ways. But wouldn't you want a completely different voice? Wouldn't you want something that, I don't know, was fresh and new as opposed to a similar approach? I mean, Ty Lue wouldn't have been on Doc Rivers' staff if he didn't believe in what they were doing. And it really strikes me as interesting, too, considering that before Ty Lue took over in Cleveland, he was an assistant on David Blatt's staff. And you remember David Blatt was not LeBron's choice. And for a year and a half, LeBron, there are reports out there, LeBron was trying to get Blatt blasted out of town, and he wanted Ty Lue if he couldn't have Mark Jackson. So his first choice was Mark Jackson, who had just kind of been ousted unceremoniously by the Warriors at this point. And the management ownership in Cleveland said hell no to Mark Jackson. And so instead, LeBron and his people were trying to get Ty Lue to be elevated as the head coach. So he's got head coaching experience, and he's also got a lot of assistant coaching experience. But I guess it kind of surprised me that he would be their choice. Not personally an indictment of Ty Lue, because I do believe he can coach and he's obviously well respected in the NBA. I just don't really understand what the Clippers are going for here. So I'm interested to hear from Steve Ballmer and from the Clippers to find out, you know, what it is that they think might change with Coach Lue that couldn't get accomplished, or the team couldn't move forward under Doc Rivers, but can move forward under Lue. So that one's kind of interesting. And something else that popped on Thursday evening, Daryl Morey, the longtime general manager of the Houston Rockets, is stepping down effective November 1st. Now, they obviously are in a coaching search, and so and they've just had the worst playoff futility lately. But in my opinion, it was because the system wasn't built for long-term championship success. I cannot stand the brand of basketball the Rockets have put out there for the last couple of years. The all or nothing three-point small ball. I mean, it's awful to watch. But it is interesting that Daryl Morey is now stepping down. And according to some of the reports out there, it may be because he doesn't necessarily agree with who ownership wants to bring in as the head coach. Now, we may see that some of this shakes out over the next couple of days and weeks. He cited personal reasons and saying this is the right time for him after 13 seasons as the GM in Houston. But in basketball circles and whispers behind the scenes, the talk is that potentially ownership has a head coaching candidate in mind, maybe one of the Van Gundy brothers. That isn't exactly what Daryl Morey wanted, and so there may be this conflict of interest kind of thing. So two major storylines from the NBA, just to throw into the mix, because, you know, October isn't busy enough. All right, coming up next, we're going to welcome Kevin Kugler, who's got Colts and Bengals this weekend. Actually, AJ Green speaking out about his frustration on Thursday. So there's just a lot happening as we head into week number 6. So Kevin will join us in the meantime. You can take our poll on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Which game are you most looking forward to? Ooh, it's almost dead tied now between the Browns and Steelers and the other game that people are voting for. This is going to be a fun poll. And then Facebook, you guys are overwhelming me. You're just, do you not have anything else to do in your life except for spend time on Facebook? I'm just teasing. I'm glad that you're there. I'm glad you're active.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Shotgun snap along the left hash. Tannehill backpedals. Pressure comes. Gets away. Tannehill going to run. Fields wide open to the 5. And Tannehill will leap into the end zone for the touchdown. Ryan Tannehill saw the right side open wide. And in he went for 6.
It's a football feeding frenzy. After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The unmistakable voice of one Kevin Kugler, who took a break from his NFL on Fox duties on Tuesday to call what was this rare Tuesday night football game in Nashville between the Bills and the Titans. Just the second time we've seen Tuesday night football in 70 years, but he got to be a part of it on Westwood One. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Take our poll. What's the NFL game you're most looking forward to week number 6? And on Facebook, I've lost control. I've completely lost control. But check it out there and you can weigh in and you can debate back and forth with other fans. Just take it away. Go run with it. Right now, we're heading to Indianapolis and we're pleased to welcome Kevin Kugler, who joins us when he's getting ready for Bengals and Colts. And Kevin, I know that there's a lot happening week 6, and you had a really busy week number 5, but you jump in with Fox now. It's your first season as part of the play-by-play on TV, mostly in empty stadiums, in the middle of a pandemic. So what's it been like?
It's been normal, as normal as things can be in 2020. It's very easy. I shouldn't say very easy. It's easier than I thought it would be to call a game without people in the stands and not really notice it. We've got audio in our headset that is sounding like crowd, and it's tailored for each individual stadium. So, you know, you have Eagles fans booing if something bad happens in a Philly game. You've got chants that are chants to each team because the NFL hired a composer basically to set up audio tracks for 32 different teams based on audio from those places over the last 4 years. So you have a fan-specific, team-specific audio track in your ears. So when you're watching the game on the field and you're hearing something in your headset, it actually feels and sounds very normal to me. And then, you know, look, if you look out into the stands and see no one there, clearly there's a difference. But I will say there is a difference even with small crowds than no crowds. The sound is more genuine, but it isn't hard for me to just get lost in calling the game, even though there's nobody there and it isn't the same as it was last year or any other year.
Well, congratulations on being part of the Fox crew now. That's a really cool opportunity. But you just had a chance to do actually a game on Westwood One, which is your old stomping grounds. And you were in Nashville for that Titans-Bills game where they had, what, about 6,000 people? So could you really tell a difference?
You can, you know, and it's funny. I've done a couple of games this year with a crowd. Like the opening night, I did opening night in Kansas City because Harlan got stuck in the bubble for the NBA because of a game that went to an extra game in the series. All of a sudden, I found out I was doing that. And they had 15,000 fans, and they had tailgating. So that was kind of I don't know. It was almost, it was my first game back, really, out of the pandemic, and it felt so good walking into a stadium and smelling grilled food in a parking lot, which was weird. But it does, there is a difference. Even a crowd of 8,000 like they had on Tuesday night down in Nashville sounds different, feels different. There is just, there's that buzz in the air before the game. People talking, people yelling, people having a beer, people eating, you know, popcorn and chanting and all this other stuff. There is just that feel in the stadium of a little energy, even if it is just a little bit of energy like they had with 8,000 fans in the stands on Tuesday night. You do notice a difference, and in a good way. It's, you know, you can, it's pretty easy. I shouldn't say it's pretty easy, but it doesn't seem that difficult to socially distance 8,000 people in a massive stadium like they have at Nissan Stadium in Nashville.
All right, so then tell me the difference, because you actually had two games in week number five, such as it was. You were at MetLife Stadium, which is where I was not that long ago, where it's completely empty. So you had Jets and Cardinals, but then you get that game between Bills and Titans. How different are the atmospheres?
It's different from the standpoint of just the energy in the stadium. When you walk into MetLife Stadium, there's nobody there, as you said, and it's kind of flat. I mean, you're in an empty stadium for the most part, and they're trying to do their best. They're playing the music, and they're doing stuff on the big screen, which always makes me scratch my head a little bit, because, you know, they ran the whole "here's how you evacuate the stands" thing that they run before when the game is full of fans in the stands, and we're watching this going, who's in the upper deck to evacuate from Section 314? Nobody's there. It doesn't make any sense, but they're going through their whole pregame protocols anyway. But when you're doing it with fans in the stands, there is just that feeling, that energy that gives you a little bit of life when you walk in. And look, it gives you a tiny semblance, shred, if you will, of normal feeling. Like, okay, there are other people here. Other people are aware there's a game happening, and they came to the game, as opposed to some of the times where you're like, are people even aware this is on? I mean, it just feels weird. Like, they open this massive stadium, they're playing a game, and it's almost as if everybody else forgot to show up. That's kind of how it feels sometimes. Like, did we get the time wrong on the tickets? What happened here? Because we're here at 1 p.m. Eastern. Did everybody think it was a night game and they just didn't show up? Because it's kind of empty, and that's... there is just a different feel, even with 8,000 people in the stands, than zero, because you have at least some life out there.
You're not playing that game on a deserted island. You know that for sure. Kevin Kugler, now with Fox Sports, though he still is moonlighting with Westwood One, but part of a crew that includes Chris Spielman and Laura Oakman. And you've had a chance to see a bunch of different teams now, a bunch of different games. But I want to just ask about the Titans before we move on. Mm-hmm. What impressed you about that performance on Tuesday night?
You know, one of the things that's impressed me really since I saw the Titans midseason last year, and I happened to have Tennessee the week after Ryan Tannehill took over as starting quarterback last season. And he's now 11-3 as a starter since he took over in Tennessee. And just his poise running this team has stood out to me since we talked with him before the Week 8 game last year. And going into this game, there is a confidence with him that carries over to that whole team. He makes good decisions. He can run, throws a good ball, is accurate. Everything he has done over the last calendar year plus is it's really been an impressive stride for a quarterback that nobody really talks about in this league. And he's become a very good quarterback.
Yes.
And then you have a terrific running back in Derrick Henry. He really didn't get off much on Tuesday night. But this is a team that hadn't played in 17 days. And we all know why they hadn't played, because the COVID situation in the Titans locker room became untenable, and yet there they were out there playing and beating a team that I think could go a long way this year in the AFC, and that's the Buffalo Bills, who just didn't have a great night, were a little bit off, and I don't know if that's because they were prepping for two teams. It certainly didn't help that they had their minds split on, will we be playing this team now? Will we be playing the Chiefs on Thursday? What will we be doing? So you had maybe a little distracted Buffalo team. You had a Tennessee team that was certainly well-rested. But to me, that team starts with Ryan Tannehill and how he plays. And the way he played on Tuesday night makes you think this Tennessee team, they're certainly the favorite in their division, and can they make it all the way through the AFC? I don't know. The AFC at the top is has several very good teams, but I think Tennessee's one of them.
Kevin Kugler with us from Indianapolis, where he'll be getting the Colts and the Bengals coming up on Fox this weekend. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. So then you go from an established veteran quarterback and everything he's been through to get to this point to a brand new guy in Joe Burrow who's learning for the first time. And yet, as I'm sure as you've studied and kind of prepared for this game, I mean, he's really impressive.
He is. He's had such a good start. And they put a lot on his shoulders to start. You know, it's not as if there were a whole lot of other options. You knew Joe Burrow, the minute he was drafted number one overall, was going to be the starting quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals this year. Only three rookies have thrown for more yards in their first five games than Joe Burrow has this year: Cam, Andrew Luck, and Kyler Murray last year. So you're in pretty good company if you're Joe Burrow. He throws a lot to his wide receivers, but this is the next step for this Cincinnati team. They feel like they're better from last year, and I think they're right. They feel like they're better, but they've got to figure out a way to win on the road. They tied on the road. That's a start, maybe. But they still haven't won on the road in 16 road games. So they are trying to do something that they just don't do, and that's win on the road. It's the longest streak by a long ways in the league. And Joe Burrow on the road, there will be a crowd on Sunday in Indianapolis.
Yes.
There's like 12,500 in Indy on Sunday, so it'll be about the biggest crowd I've seen this year, and certainly it'll be the biggest crowd they've seen this year, and it'll be an interesting thing. Can Joe Burrow and this Cincinnati team muster enough to win on the road against a Colts team that's trying to bounce back a little bit and trying to figure out their problems in the red zone? They've been terrible in the red zone, and that's gotten a lot of heat this week. They're injury-plagued right now, and they're trying to keep up all of a sudden with the team we were just talking about in Tennessee in their division. They looked like, as they got off to the fast start, maybe they were going to be the team to be reckoned with in this division, and Tennessee now is starting to get a little extra edge on the Colts. So this is a big game for both of these teams, really big for the home team in Indianapolis.
Oh, the tangled webs we weave as we get into week number six. Lots of different divisional battles and then storylines and the impacts as we start to get through to the meat of the season. Kevin Kugler, now with the NFL on Fox as well as with Westwood One. You've also had a chance to see another young dynamic quarterback several times to start the season, so we will talk about that experience coming up. Just stick with us through our update.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Shotgun snap to Kyler Murray. From the pocket, deep pass. Left side going for Hopkins. One-handed catch and a touchdown. DeAndre Hopkins was blanketed by a jet, but it don't matter. Hopkins makes the catch, and the Cardinals may have just put the Jets to sleep.
You know, you throw a go ball up, especially that one to D-Hop. You know, I didn't even know if he was going to catch it. You know, he shows you time and time again why, you know, he's the best shooter in the league. You know, and then you got guys that you just put the ball in their hands, and they make plays for you. And, you know, it makes my job a whole lot easier.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Such a novel idea. Make sure your quarterback has a top-flight wide receiver like DeAndre Hopkins. The Cardinals do. The Texans don't. And then there's the rest of the story. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It's been an instant connection between Kyler Murray and D-Hop and Dave Pasch with one of their touchdowns on the Cardinals radio network. But we're in the middle of talking to Kevin Kugler, who is now with the NFL on Fox and still moonlighting here and there with the Westwood One radio network. And we'll see what happens during basketball season, but it's football now, Kevin. So you've seen Arizona multiple times. The Cardinals have rebounded from a couple of tough losses, and they certainly have made some progress in this second year with Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray and building around them. So what stands out from what you've seen?
Yeah, and I think the communication between head coach and quarterback is continuing to grow. Both of these guys are in their second year of doing this. One is an NFL head coach and one is an NFL quarterback. So you're trying to figure out, A, how to do your own job, and B, how to communicate with the other guy to try to make this thing work. And when we were talking with Cliff a couple of weeks ago, he said, yeah, the communication broke down. When we were in Carolina, it just wasn't very good. We had to figure out a way to get back on the same page. They feel like they did that against the Jets. And let's be honest, the Jets are obviously struggling and are really not very good this year. And it had to be a game you went in and won, and that's what Arizona did. And Kyler had a really good game last week against that Jets defense. And for the Cardinals, yes, it matters that Kyler Murray is as good as he is and continuing to grow in his role. But, man, does DeAndre Hopkins help that team a ton. He is just he's such a reliable wide receiver. He doesn't drop passes. You can put the ball anywhere near him. He's going to catch it. He is such a difference maker for that Arizona team. And if they can get Kenyon Drake going a little bit in the run game, I still like this team. I think there's a lot of potential with Arizona. As you said, though, I mean, it's such a tough division. I just don't know if this is a year that you can win this division. Seattle looks great. The Rams are fantastic right now. And don't count out San Francisco, assuming they can get a little healthier. That San Francisco team is going to cause people some problems this year. We had them and the Cardinals in week one of our season, and that's a talented team. They've just had some really untimely injuries and some bad luck at times this year. But that division is tough. Arizona's good in that division, but I just don't know that, you know, they're going to be better this year. They're going to end up with a better record than they had last year, and it may not be enough in a division that I still think is the best in the league.
And yet, people are not even talking about a team that went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago with the Los Angeles Rams, now at 4-1, and I know you have them coming up, but that's the part that it really speaks to the strength of that division, is that people aren't even like considering the Rams as a contender right now.
I don't quite understand why, because it looks like that offense has gotten back on track somewhat. It looks like Jared Goff has figured things out again. You know, everybody looks at their 9-7 season last year and goes, oh, what a failure, they didn't make the playoffs. Well, that's the first time they've made the playoffs under Sean McVay. So this is a team that is accustomed to being good. They have a lot of those players back. Oh, by the way, they have the best defensive player in the National Football League in Aaron Donald, and one of the best that's played in the last two decades. So you're talking about a team that has a quarterback that's playing well, a dominant defensive force that almost always draws a double team and still figures out a way to beat it. There's a lot to like about that Rams team. And, you know, Rams-Seattle, those are going to be two really good clashes this year that could determine, maybe, home field advantage in the NFC this year.
Kevin Kugler with us from Indianapolis, getting set to call Bengals and Colts as part of week number 6. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Just out of curiosity, and I know this is a challenge for a lot of members of the sports media, how much access at all do you have to coaches and players in preparation for these games?
You know, they have been really good about doing what they can. So we'll have, I mean, everybody's doing the teleconference calls with everybody. So, you know, we've got video calls with coaches and players both Friday and Saturday. The league has been great about granting us access to home practices on Fridays before the Sunday game. So
wow.
I'll come in on a Friday and we'll go. Now, we don't talk to anybody at those practices. We're not near the team because we're a different tier in the COVID protocols, but we stand far away and watch the Friday practice, which is really valuable just to kind of get a glimpse of what's going on,
sure,
some hints as to the health of the team. And so the league's been really great about giving us the opportunity to go to those places where it's permissible to go watch these practices. And they've been really good about making sure we can get into almost everything that we need to get into. And then we talk with coaches on Friday and Saturday and players on Friday and Saturday. And it's really been better than I expected it to be. You know, sometimes you get on a video call and you're not sure what kind of, you know, is the guy going to be distracted? Is he going to really give you any information? We've really had some really good conversations with these folks. And I think everybody understands it's certainly a unique circumstance, and this is not something you want to do long term where you don't have that ability to sit down one-on-one with these guys. But for the short term, it's been really, really it's been about as well executed as it can be. And, you know, here we are in week 6, and knock on wood, we are able to keep this thing going all the way to the Super Bowl.
The virus seems to come up a lot in terms of the news headlines and the stories, but when you're talking to coaches or players, how much is it part of the conversation?
Not really that much at all. I mean, it was more the first week or two of the season because you were still talking about how they handled not having games in the preseason and how they handled practices in the preseason and all of the stuff that was hampered early by the protocols that changed so much of what we expect in a preseason. But, you know, it's now just sort of business as usual. Everybody knows it's there. Everybody kind of crosses their fingers every week. I know we do as a crew. Our mantra on our crew is get to Sunday. Get to Sunday. We want to get to Sunday. We want to get to Sunday clean. We want to get to Sunday with two clean teams, and we want to have a clean football broadcast. And that's, you know, knock on wood, 5 weeks now we've been able to pull that off, and hopefully we'll be able to do that for a lot more weeks. But it really doesn't come up that much when you're talking with players and coaches. It's really now – there's a body of work now to talk about the actual football on the field. It's somewhat refreshing, to be honest. We're inundated with it. We all live this pandemic every single day, and we have since March. And it's very nice to have those moments, and we all have them in our normal day where we have like an hour moment where we think, gosh, you know, for an hour this was very normal. This felt like a normal thing. Those conversations are those moments in my days where it's like, okay, we're just talking football. This feels very normal.
Okay, so Kevin, this is probably the least important question of anything I'm going to ask you, but what are mashups? I just saw this on your Twitter. Frosted Flakes and Fruit Loops? You have to have them together?
In the same box. You know, it's something that you dream about as a kid and you think, what if someday you were allowed to have... See, we didn't get a lot of the fancy boxed cereal when we were kids. It was more... My mom always had rules, like the sugar couldn't be the first ingredient. So I've sort of, as an adult, said, well, if sugar's the first ingredient, now I'm going to eat that cereal. So our cereal was not in boxes. It was in bags, you know, instead of Fruit Loops, it was like fruit rings. And instead of it being spelled F-R-O-O-T, it was actually spelled F-R-U-I-T. And you're thinking, well, is this the same? Oh, it's the same thing, trust me. And it's not. Kids, don't let your parents fool you. Froot loops, that's the real deal. Don't let anybody tell you that fruit should be spelled Fruit when it comes to the loops, because it's just not the same thing. But now they've taken them and they've mashed them into the box with the Frosted Flakes.
Oh, my gosh.
I feel like they've taken a little bit of the sweetness out of the Frosted Flakes because the feel and the taste is dominated by Toucan Sam. But it's not a bad thing. I have enjoyed the mashup, and I will continue.
Oh my gosh.
It comes in the family size box, so there's multiple bowls in there for me.
That's got to be your sugar intake for the entire week.
Well, you know, if I didn't have this problem with donuts where I tend to eat them, I would agree with you. But it's just one of the, you know, I believe, and, you know, I took nutrition classes back in the day, but I believe sugar is considered a food group, and I want to make sure I hit my food pyramid with the sugar.
I'm with you there. My brother convinced me last weekend that three of us needed to get an entire dozen donuts, and boy, did we polish them off. We had no trouble.
Only a dozen, huh? Were they short? Is there a shortage there? I mean, what's going on? Why only a dozen?
Because I cut him off at a dozen donuts. That was enough for 48 hours. Oh, my gosh. All right, so Kevin Kugler now, every now and then, he's on Westwood One, but primary gig is Fox Sports play-by-play for the NFL, along with Chris Spielman and Laura Oakman in Indianapolis this weekend. Kevin, thanks so much for a couple of minutes.
Thanks, Amy. Good to talk with you.
Mashups. I know that's not the most significant thing that we just talked about on the string of games and information about being in stadiums. So compared to that, mashups probably not significant. But ew. Now, I do love a good sugar cereal. It's why I don't buy them, because I don't want them in my house. Apple Jacks was my favorite, and my mom always used to make my brother and I mix Apple Jacks with Cheerios. We weren't allowed to eat just Apple Jacks, except that my brother was a cheater. He would put like 2 tablespoons of Cheerios in his bowl and then would take half the box of Apple Jacks so that there was nothing left for me. So that was his idea about mixing. But mashups, they kind of do it for you. I suppose if there was a mashup where they put Cheerios and Apple Jacks together in the same box, I might have to try it, because that would be a throwback to when I was a kid Interesting. Kevin is also a huge Star Wars fan, and I mean all of it, not just the movies, but the animated series, of which I'm watching one now, Clone Wars. He and I have gone back and forth about Clone Wars, and he's also read a lot of the books that I read. So we both fall into the category of Star Wars nerds. I appreciate a couple of minutes with Kevin. He always brings great energy. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's sponsored by Geico. Do you want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It will keep you up at night. Or you can switch to Geico and save. And then instead of worrying about your car insurance, you can just listen to the show at night. 855-212-4227. Boy, you guys are blowing up our Facebook page. And the number of games that we've got that I think have incredible potential to just be fantastic this weekend. I'm really looking forward to it. And certainly Cleveland and Pittsburgh. I may have to find a way to get that game out of market, though, because a lot of times I am stuck in my market with the Jets and Giants games, and Washington and New York Giants are playing their NFC East matchup in the early window on Sunday. And so there are times when I get another game. That game's airing on Fox. I'll end up getting another game on CBS. But there are also times when that's the only game is either the Giants or the Jets game. And it sucks. Now, I do believe that at least one, if not both, of the New York football teams will end up with wins this year. It's really difficult to go 0-16. But I would rather watch other games. I'll just be honest. Maybe I'll get to see Alex Smith for Washington, or maybe they can give me Cleveland-Pittsburgh on the other channel, or I'm going to have to pilfer it somewhere.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.